This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So last dars, we just started a new chapter about an-nadbu ila ityani salati wal ilmi wa nahwihima min al-ibadati bis-sakinati wal waqar. The recommendation by the Sharia that whenever you are coming to the masjid to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or majlis ilm, you're supposed to have sakina and waqar, to be calm, you know, and also not to rush when you're going to that place. And he quoted the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. This attitude and behavior is part of the taqwa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks everyone to have. Respecting the sha'ira min sha'irillah is part of the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And masajid and the prayers and the these are all part of the sha'irillah. So if you have to respect them, to come to those places calmly, you know, in a state of tranquility, this will be for you as respecting the sha'ira min sha'irillah. After this, he mentioned the hadith of Abu Huraira. قال عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه سمعت قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إذا أتيتم الصلاة أو إذا أتيت الصلاة فلا تأتها وأنتم تسعون وأتها وأنتم تمشون وعليكم السكينة فما أدركتم فصلوا وما فاتكم فأتموا. One of the etiquette of going to the masjid is to perform your wudu at home and to go out of your house calmly. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised you to have the taqarub al-khuta, meaning the footsteps should be closer to each other, because every step you're having is counted for you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah will elevate you in ranking with one step and will remove your sins with the other one. So if you are moving so fast, you're going to lose a lot. So you go calmly, not to exaggerate in your calmness, moderately. If you remember, we talk about the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to walk. Allah says, wa ibadur rahman alladhina yamshuna 'ala al-ardi hauna. And this haun, this is exactly the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to walk. Not too fast, not too slow. So when you go into the masjid, you're supposed to maintain this kind of al-mashi, to have the full reward, to maximize the benefit, especially those who are coming from close distance, because they don't have that privilege as those who are coming from far distance. Because those who are coming from far distance to the masajid, especially those who are walking, whatever footsteps they have, this is going to be written for them. This is going to be written for them. It's a very excellent and noble act of worship that Allah loves. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bashir al-mashayin fi al-zulumati ila al-masajid bil-nur al-tammi yawm al-qiyamah." He said, "Give a glad tidings and good news to those people who are going to the masajid in the darkness of the night." So he's referring to those prayers which are prayed usually at night. Those who are going to the masajid in the darkness of the night, Allah promised to give them a complete light when they meet Him on the Day of Judgment. When you have this light, you know, when you're crossing the Sirat, which nobody can escape it, you need that light. You need that light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when He talks about the hypocrites, the wrongdoers, يُنَادُونَهُمْ أَلَمْ نَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ أُنْظُرُونَ نَقْتَبِسْ مِنْ نُورِكُمْ. They will be looking at the believers and the light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them because of their iman and their dedication to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will be asking them, please share some with us. And then they will tell them, no, you cannot get light here. You're supposed to get it back there in the dunya before you reach this place. What happened to you? SubhanAllah. So you need this light to be given to you. on the Day of Judgment, and this is the moment you can get it right from now. And Allah SWT will keep it for you. He said, I promise to give these type of people a complete light when they meet me on the Day of Judgment. So one of the recommendations is to be very calm, not to move very fast. Because we're going to see the Prophet ﷺ said, فَأَنْتَ فِي صَلَاةٍ. You are going to be considered as somebody who is praying already. And you know, when you are praying, you're supposed to remain calm. Although it is not the actual prayer, but Allah will start counting the reward for you from that moment. That's where there are certain things which you are not supposed to do them right after you go out of your house with the intention to go to the masjid. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا أَتَيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ فَلَا تَأْتُوهَا وَأَنْتُمْ تَسْعَوْنَ وَأْتُوهَا وَأَنْتُمْ تَمْشُونَ. Whenever you come to the prayers, he says, فَلَا تَأْتُوهَا وَأَنْتُمْ تَسْعَوْنَ. Don't come to the prayers while you're rushing. Be calm. وَأْتُوهَا وَأَنْتُمْ تَمْشُونَ. Come to the prayer while you're walking normally. Just a normal walk. And it's wrong for a Muslim to go against this. The scholar said the only situation where it's cool for you to move a bit faster, it is when you are rushing to catch up the prayer. If you don't do the whole thing will be gone. Because this is practiced by some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They said this one, because of this big objective, then it is okay for you to rush a bit. Or you're planning to catch up the Takbiratul Ihram. Takbiratul Ihram meaning the Imam just said Allahu Akbar, or about to begin with the prayer, you know, about to say the Takbiratul Ihram. If you can go and join the prayer before he start reading the Quran, then you got the Takbiratul Ihram. So these have been practiced by some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why the exception has been given to only these people. Whereas the vast majority of us, we are not in this position, then we have to remain calm when we are going to the masajid. Unless if you are afraid of losing the whole thing, then you can move a bit faster. The Prophet ﷺ said, be calm. Wa alaykum as-sakina. And you have to maintain your sakina. He said, فَمَا أَدْرَكْتُمْ فَصَلُّوا. He says, wa alaykum as-sakina, you have to maintain your tranquility, your calmness, you know. فَمَا أَدْرَكْتُمْ فَصَلُّوا. Whatever you got the Imam doing, فَصَلُّوا, pray. Whatever you found the Imam doing, you should do. And that's a very strong message for all of us here. Because you come to the masjid, and I'm pretty sure many of us have seen this. You come to the masjid, you see people waiting for the Imam to come up from the sujood. This is wrong. It doesn't even look nice. Everyone is bowing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're just hanging around there standing. You Allah, if you know that, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you know, looking at those people and they're standing before Allah and everyone is bowing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are standing. What justification you have? Just out of laziness? And just because the prayer is not good, the rakah is not going to be counted for you, and then you decided to lose this virtue. Everyone is before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala making sujood. The Imam doing it, he said, just do. فَصَلُّوا قَرَنَهُ بِالْفَاءِ لِلْتَعْقِيمِ. It means you have to quickly join the Imam. Don't wait. You found him in the ruku, join the ruku immediately. Some people will wait and fix this, fix that. No. That one, you do it before you come to the masjid. Come to the masjid when you're ready. When you find the Imam in ruku, just join the Imam. Don't delay. You're going to lose a lot. You Allah. 1 second you lose with the Imam, only Allah knows how much you're losing of reward. Nobody can tell you how much is. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can tell you how much you're losing. You found the Imam in sujood. Just do the sujood. Yes, you lost that rakah. It doesn't matter. What are you going to do? You're going to stand waiting for them inappropriately and losing the reward also. But if you join the Imam in the sujood, angels will start counting for you the reward from that moment. Although the rak'ah is not counted, but the reward is counted for you. So it's a win-win situation. But if you stand up just behind, waiting for the imam to come up, you're losing the reward and also doing something inappropriately, because everyone is going to this act of worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really loves. You know, the Prophet said, أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدُ. The most noblest part of the prayer is the sujood. Many scholars believe that the most noblest part of the prayer is the sujood. There are some who said qiyam with the recitation, but sujood, since the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the closest time, the closest moment you are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when you're making sujood. And you know why is it so loved? The scholars mention, because you're putting the highest part of you to the ground. For who? Rabbul Alameen. And then when you come to the masjid, you should be rushing, you should be hoping to meet the imam actually in this, so that you can join very quickly, not to miss it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yaj'alaka mimman yasjuduna lahu yawm al-qiyam. So my dear brothers and sisters, let's be serious in our affairs. Know that you are in the masjid. This salah has its own rules, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the only one who has the say here. Whatever you're doing, make sure that you're taking from him. Otherwise, you'll be losing rewards. You might lose your prayer sometimes, not knowing that you're losing the prayer out of following your desire or whatever fatwa somebody is giving you. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whatever you found the imam doing, just join that imam. قَالَ فَمَا أَدْرَكْتُمْ فَصَلُّوا وَمَا فَاتَكُمْ فَاتِمُ. Whatever you found the imam is doing, just do. However, when we say when you come to the masjid, just do, you have to come and reach the saf. You don't make ruku before the saf. Abu Bakr, sahibun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came to the masjid and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was praying. He came at a time when the Prophet ﷺ made ruku. So what did he do? He made ruku. You know, they tried to apply the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Rasulullah ﷺ said, whatever you found, just do. So he just get inside the masjid. He found the Prophet ﷺ at ruku. He did the ruku immediately. But he was before the saf. Like you were there, you know, in the middle of the masjid, and there we have only two rows here. You make a ruku in the middle of the masjid. You still have a long journey to reach the imam. Abu Bakr did. And then he walked in the ruku to the saf. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the prayer, he sees from behind. Yeah, that's given to him when he prays. He can see what is going on behind. Out of the prayer, it doesn't happen. But in the prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees from behind. Why do we say it doesn't happen? Because things happen to him and he did not know who is coming. Otherwise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could take action before that man reach. But in the prayer, he sees what is going on behind. So that's why he told them, who was the person who made ruku before the saf? Abu Bakr said, I was the one, Ya Rasulullah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Zadakallahu hirsan wa la ta'ud. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward your interest and increase you in that interest of catching the prayer, but don't do that again. So we learned that what he did was inappropriate, but the prayer is okay. So the scholar said, from this we learned that a person shouldn't make ruku before the saf. You reach the saf first and then you make the ruku, unless if you are next to the saf, which you have like one or two steps left for you to reach the saf, and you know that this imam, it's not that kind of imam that and he prayed beyond the wajibat. And let's be just to the imam. And some of the imams, just the wajib. Subhan Rabbi al-Azim, finished. Then come on. You get the idea. So you know that this imam is going to stand up. The scholar said, you can make ruku from that place, which is just one step, two steps. Make ruku from that place and then continue your journey to the south to catch up that rak'ah. The reason why they're saying this is because they found some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam practiced this. So we know that this is an exception. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fama adraktum fasallu, wa ma fatakum fa'timu." Whatever you get the imam doing, just do. "Wa ma fatakum fa'timu," and whatever you miss, you complete your prayer. In another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wama fatakum faqdu." In some places he said fa'atimmu. Most of the places actually is atimmu, atimmu, atimmu. But there are some places where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said faqdu. Al-qada is to make up what you miss. Itmam is to complete your prayer. So either this one or this one. Which one do we go for? Most of the scholars said al-itmam. And this is the best. And this is the easiest, actually. Itmam is the best and the easiest. Especially knowing that some scholars try actually to relate the qada to itmam. That's why some of them said, although this one might not sound properly, they said usually whenever qada is mentioned, it means itmam. It means itmam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا قَضَى مُوسَى الْأَجَلَ أي فَلَمَّا أَتَمَّ مُوسَى الْأَجَلَ فَقَضَاهُنَّ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ أي أَتَمَّهُنَّ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ. They say linguistically also, qada is usually coming to mean itmam. So that means the second narration is going back also to the first narration. It's just emphasizing and completing the first narration. But there are some scholars who said, no, we should take qada in the meaning which is understood by the fuqaha. It means to make up what you miss. And if you're going to do this, you're going to get into trouble concerning some of the prayers. For instance, you miss one rakah in Maghrib. Right? You miss one rakah in Maghrib. You got the last two rakat. If I ask you to make up what you miss, how? How do you do it? You miss only one, right? You have only one rakah left. And you're going to do it according to what you miss. That first rakah that you miss, you're going to recite Fatiha and Surah. Never mind, we can understand this. But then that first rakah doesn't have tashahud. And you are in the last rakah. This is Maghrib. How do you finish your prayer then? Do you get what I'm trying to say? You're going to stay there forever and ever and ever because you cannot say Assalamu alaikum without tashahud. And since you are making up your the prayer that you the rakah that you miss, the one that you miss doesn't have the shahud. That's why some scholars said, we combine both. You do qada in aqwal, you do itmam in af'al. So in aqwal, whatever you miss of the statement, the recitation, let's say in this one, you do qada in aqwal. That means you recite Fatiha loudly and Surah loudly, and then you do itmam in af'al. In actions, you're doing itmam. Then you complete your prayer. Then you will be able to make the tashahud and say the salam. However, as I said, the easiest opinion and the best opinion, inshallah, is the one that says you just go for the itmam. It's a very simple concept. You don't need to ask somebody, to teach you how to do it. It's very simple. How does it work? They say when you come to the masjid, whatever you got with the imam, you just count it as the first part of your prayer as if you're praying alone. Just assume that you're alone. There was no imam. Whatever you got with the imam, just make it as the first part of your prayer as if you're praying alone. So in the example that I have given, I miss one rakah of Maghrib. If I complete it, I have only one rakah left to complete. If I am going to do the itmam, which is the correct approach, inshallah, how do I pray that last rakah? Because we said, you're just going to assume that you are not with anyone, you're praying alone. You prayed two rakahs and now one rakah left for you, which is the last rakah for Maghrib. How do you pray the last rakah for Maghrib? You recite only Fatiha silently, and you sit for tashahud and you complete your prayer. If you got one rakah, two rakahs with the one rak'ah with the imam. You have two rak'ahs left. So when you stand up to make up the prayer, to complete the prayer, if you were taking this correct opinion, you have two rak'ahs left of Maghrib. And we said, right after the salam of the imam, you just assume that you are not with anyone. And now you only pray one rak'ah in your prayer, and you have two rak'ahs left. So the next rak'ah you're going to be praying is the second rak'ah of your Maghrib. And the second rak'ah of the Maghrib, how is it? You recite Fatiha loudly, and the surah also loudly, and sit for the shahud. You get it? Sit for the shahud, because this is your second rak'ah. Right? And then you go to the third rak'ah, you recite only Fatiha. And then, and then make ruku, and sit for the shahud, and complete your prayer. That's why they have this puzzle, that there is a prayer that you can pray three rak'at, but you pray four, you make four tashahud in it. And that's Maghrib. Maghrib has only three rak'at. But there is a possibility of making four tashahud in it. When you're making this itmam, yeah, there is a possibility you make four tashahud in it. That happens when you join the imam in the second rak'ah and you miss the ruku. He's going to sit for tashahud, so you sit with him that tashahud. When he comes to the last rak'ah for him, and this is your first rak'ah, supposedly, right? He's going to sit for the tashahud, that's your second tashahud. And how many rak'ahs left for you? Two. And we are doing the itmam, right? So that means you have two rak'ahs left, as if you're praying alone. So the next one is going to be your second rak'ah. You're going to sit for the tashahud also, that tashahud number three. Yeah, and then the last one, you're going to sit for the tashahud. This is number four. So I hope, inshallah, this is very clear. This is very easy, because people have been asking about this, how to complete, how to do, what to do. This is the easiest way taken by most of the scholars and the vast majority of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam aim for this itmam. So either you go for itmam or you go for qada, but we said the best, which is the vast majority of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is itmam. فَمَا أَدْرَكْتُمْ فَصَلُّوا وَمَا فَاتَكُمْ فَأَتِمُّوا وَزَادَ مُسْلِمٌ فِي رُوَايَةٍ لَوْ أَنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ كَانَ يَعْمِرُ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَهُوَ فِي صَلَاةٍ. Imam Muslim added a statement in that narration. You know, Bukhari and Muslim, they narrated the hadith, both of them, and Imam Muslim added an additional information where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ إِذَا كَانَ يَعْمِدُ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَهُوَ فِي صَلَاةٍ. You see, one of you, whenever he goes out of his house to the masjid, intending to go to the masjid, he will be counted as somebody who is praying right from that moment. When you make wudu, nothing took you out of the house except the masjid to pray. The angels will look at you as somebody who is praying. That's why you shouldn't engage in inappropriate things, you know, until then, because angels will be writing the reward for you as if you are praying. قال وان عبد الله بن عباس انه دفع مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوم عرفة فسمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فسمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من ورائه زجرا شديدا وضربا وصوتا للإبل. Is that correct? My eyes then. وصوتا للإبل فأشار بصوته إليهم وقال أيها الناس عليكم بالسكينة فإن البر ليس بالإيضاع. Sorry, I supposed to use glasses to see correctly. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, he says, I was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam during the Hajjat al-Wada, يوم عرفة, and the day of Arafah. You know, for those of you who went to Hajj before, you will understand why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insists, you know, to remind people. Because if you want to see what impatience is all about, go to Hajj. Yeah. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, throughout his Hajj, he has been reminding them, be calm, don't rush, don't harm, don't push people. He told Umar ibn Khattab, he says, Ya Umar, he says, you are very strong. And please, when you go for Hajj, do not harm anyone. If you go to tawaf, if you can kiss the black stone, kiss it. If you cannot kiss it, touch it with your hand and kiss the place where you touch the black stone with. If you cannot do that, use the stick that you're holding, if you have one, touch it with the stick from far distance and then kiss the place. If you cannot do that, he said, just point, just do the ishara and move forward. Subhanallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants you to have a very peaceful Hajj. But is that the case? Unfortunately not. Iwallah. Unfortunately not. In the past, when they don't have these levels in the place of Rami al-Jimar, they have only one before. It's really, really, really a tough job. I remember around 160 people died in the first Hajj we met. In that open place, you'll be wondering, how come? You are just supposed to take a small pebble and just go and throw it in the place and move forward. That's the only thing you're supposed to do. But why people are dying in that place? This question doesn't have any answer except that they are not properly, you know, oriented, and they are not given the correct information. Trust me, many of them are coming to the Rami al-Jimar with the belief that they are going to meet Shaitan in that place. So he has all the anger in his heart that this is the one that used to put him in this and that. You know, he came with rocks. Iwallah, literally rocks and knives and scissors and shoes. That's why you see people bleeding in that place, because if you're not careful, you're going to be his Shaitan, you know, because when he would throw on you. And they go with those things, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Iyyakum al-ghulu." Stay away from exaggeration. Take a little. This is a very small stone. And when you go, just throw it inside. But it's much easier than that. And then don't come back. Just move forward and go and come like that. No, they don't want. They have to come and mix with people and push this one. So it's pushing you, pushing him. No. What is this? So that's why we really need to take severe action. Before people leave their countries to go to that place, they should be properly, you know, educated on how to do the things correctly. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Hajj, and that was his last Hajj, the first and the last. Abdullah ibn Abbas said, "I was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but سمي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وراءه زجرا شديدا وضربا وصوتا للإبل." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard people are shouting, raising up their voice, and also others that are hitting their camels. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not happy with that. So he told, فَأَشَارَ بِصَوْتِهِ إِلَيْهِمْ وَقَالَ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالسَّكِينَةِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he indicated with the whip, the stick he was holding, and then he told people, please be calm. No shouting and no rushing. And also no beating the camels. No beating the camels. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, just be calm. He says, فَإِنَّ الْبِرَّ لَيْسَ بِالْإِذَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has nothing to do with that rushing that you're doing. Al-Idha, this is Al-Isra, moving very quickly. This is not part of the righteousness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do. And listen, this place, there are some places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to rush, like when you're doing the As-Sa'i bayn as-Safa wal-Marwa. There is a place bayn al-Milayn al-Akhdarayn, you're supposed to run. You're supposed to run. Other than that, you're supposed to move normally. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, throughout his Hajj, he has been telling people, be calm. Do not harm anyone. Yeah, do not harm anyone. That's why the scholar said, if you are making tawaf, and you know that if you come closer to the Kaaba, you're going to harm others, it's better for you to move a bit far from it. Especially knowing that if you move a bit far from the Kaaba, you will be able to practice the sunnah correctly. Imagine on the 10th of the Hijjah, you're going to do Tawaf al-Ifadah. All of those sunan, jogging and all of these things, they will be impossible for you to be able to do them correctly. And there are some times also when you go and the place is too crowded, if you come closer to the Kaaba, you cannot do the things correctly. The scholar said it's better for you to move a bit far from it so that you can practice the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam completely, rather than coming closer to the Kaaba. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good. Do we still have time? قال باب إكرام الضيف. That's it. باب إكرام الضيف. قال الله عز وجل وهل أتاك حديث ضيف إبراهيم المكرمين إذ دخلوا عليه فقالوا سلاما قال سلام قوم منكرون فراغ إلى أهله فجاء بعجل سمين فقربه إليهم قال ألا تأكلون. So this is a very prestigious and nice chapter. So we take some part of it, inshallah, before the end of the time. This is about honoring the guest. Honoring the guest. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyukrim dhayfahu." If you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the hereafter, you should respect and honor your guest. And they mentioned that the first one who brought this sunnah was Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim was Khalilullah azza wa jal, the best before the arrival of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Ibrahim as Khalil. And he qualifies this because he passed all the tests that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him with it. In Surah to Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna Ibrahim kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifan wa lam yakun minal mushrikeen." شاكرا لأنعمه اجتباه وهداه إلى صراط مستقيم وآتيناه في الدنيا حسنة وإنه في الآخرة لمن الصالحين. سبحان الله. He says إن إبراهيم كان أمة أي قدوة. أمة here means قدوة. Nation that stands by itself as an example for everyone to follow. That's why the scholars said there was a time Ibrahim, he is the only one who is righteous in that place. He and his wife, Sarah. That's what he told her. That's why they said, "Anta al-jama'a walau kunta wahdak." You are considered as jama'a, even if you are alone. Zayd ibn Amr, the father of Sa'id ibn Zayd, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he will be resurrected on the day of judgment, ummatan wahdahu. Because there was a time when he was worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone in Makkah, not following the Quraysh in their worship of the idols. He doesn't know exactly what to do, but he believes, based on his consciousness and his fitrah, that this cannot be the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this cannot be attributed to Ibrahim. So he always gets into trouble. He doesn't slaughter for the sake of anyone except Allah, Rabbul Alameen. He doesn't go and worship idols. He tried to pray, approaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So he died. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said he will be resurrected on the day of judgment, ummatan wahdahu, as a nation standing by himself. So inshallah, in the next class, I will go a little bit more about Ibrahim alaihi salam, and then we translate, we interpret the ayat Imam al-Nawawi quoted, inshallah. May Allah grant you good and tawfiq in this dunya and the akhirah. Innahu bi kulli jamilin kafil. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم ما بعد. There is a question about the sins. It is mentioned that we mentioned that based on the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that if you intended to do something wrong, then you change your mind, Allah will not write anything for you, or you will be rewarded for that effort to change your mind. But then we also said at the same time, if a person intended to commit sin in the haram, he will be sinning. The sin will be written on him. So it looks like contradiction there. If you intended but you don't do it, you will get a reward. But here, the mujarrad al-irada is enough for you to get sin. The scholars look at it as an exception, although there are some who sees irada here, iman al-azm aw al-amal nafsuhu, yurid an ya'mal, somebody who did something. But most of the scholars believe that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the irada, as means if somebody intended to commit sin in haram, and some of them went actually more than that to say that if your intention is in, you are in another place, but you intended to go to the haram and commit sin, you will be held responsible of that, not only when you are in the haram. Al-Zahir, the ayah is talking about somebody who is in the haram, haram al-Makki, and then he intended to commit sin. But some scholars said, even if you are out of it, you intended to go to the haram, waliyadhu billah, and commit sin in that place, you will be sinning. So they see it as an exception because of the virtue and the nature of the place. That's why in Islam, we have to understand that if a place has a virtue, the place is sacred, the treatment by the Sharia is going to be different. The same goes to the people. The sin that you're committing as a scholar is not like the punishment. If Allah punished both of you, the scholar and the layman, the scholar will be punished more than the layman because he has the knowledge, right? The wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah says, whoever did something wrong among you, yudha'afu lahu al-adhabu dha'fayn. Allah will multiply the punishment, not the sin. The sin is going to remain in the way it is. When you commit sin, Allah will write one for one. But the punishment might be multiplied, doubled. Allah told the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of their status, these are inappropriate things to come from anyone, but in their case, it's more inappropriate than anybody else. That's why when they do the wrong thing, they will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than a layman, a normal person, somebody who doesn't have that privilege. And the same goes to when they do something good, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also is going to reward them the best of reward, much better than anybody else. So this is how they are. There are places, there are people, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala respect. If you go to those places and do something wrong, of course, the sin that you commit in the masjid, even you from inside, you know that it's not like the sin you committed out of the masjid. You get what I'm trying to say? You know, sins that somebody goes to the masjid and commits sin, it is not like normal sin that somebody commits out of the masjid. Although they look alike, but because of the nature of the place. So my answer to the sister, this is an exception. The general principle remains. Exception doesn't mean that we are violating that principle. Any general principle that you have, there are some exceptions that Sharia laid down to address that matter. The second question talks about the people who make wudu from the house and they go to the masjid. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they will be in the prayer. Yeah, a sister who prays at home, she makes wudu. From the time she finished the wudu until the time she prays, is she going to be counted as somebody who is praying? As long as the salah is the thing that is keeping her, she has the intention to pray and she's just waiting for the time to pray, as long as the reason why she's waiting is the prayer, then she will be considered as somebody who already started the prayer. You get it? Because in some of the narrations, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ma zalati salatu tahbis. As long as the thing that is keeping him in that place is the prayer, he's just waiting for the time to pray, then the angels will be praying and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show mercy upon him, and he will be considered as somebody who already started at the prayer. Allah grant is good. Does it? I guess let's delay this question for the next class or after the question, because the imam is already here. Okay, there's a very good question, but the imam is already here, so inshallah we will answer that question in the next class, inshallah. May Allah grant you good. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.